I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro. Today we'll be talking with two women motorcyclists and riders intent on living their own lives to the fullest and empowering other women through motorcycle riding to do the same. Laura Clark was named CycleSource magazine's Motorcycling Woman of the Year in 2008 and again in 2011. Working as Vice President and Marketing Director of Clockworks Custom Cycles alongside her husband Brian, they have grown their company to over 450 Clockworks brand part numbers, including their well-known patented Flare windshield. In 2006, Laura set a national land speed record on a bike they built for the Discovery Channel Biker Build-Off, making her the pilot of the first world's fastest bagger. Since then, Laura and daughters Erica and Carly have become the first mother-daughter-daughter trio in the history of land speed racing to hold records at the same time. Sash Walker rides alongside her husband Steve Johnson, working their marketing and media business as they motorcycle on the highways of North America. She began riding in January 2013 and subsequently rode 46,000 miles in the next 2.5 years, over 34 states, chronicling her adventures along the way. Founder of Too Much Tina Media, she's a former beauty queen turned motorcycle marketer. Her work has been published in numerous magazines, such as Women Riders Now, Biker News Online, and Mademoiselle Magazine. She published a book of poetry in 2009, Finding Christ Inside, and in January 2015 released her latest book, Rude Biker Chick, Lessons from My Daddy. I'm so excited to host the two of you and learn more about your lives and your mission to help empower women over 40. I'm genuinely honored to be in your presence. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Laura, tell me about your journey from a traditional life to a life surrounded by motorcycles.
Oh, gosh. You know, I started riding motorcycles when I was about 10 years old, so I don't really know life without it. It was just what we did, you know. I grew up in the country in Wisconsin, and we had snowmobiles and three-wheelers at the time and a dirt bike. So I learned really quickly about the power of riding my motorcycle as far as, you know, using it as an escape, using it to challenge myself, just learning about myself, learning about being out there exploring.
And Sash, tell me also about your journey from traditional life to a life surrounded by these bikes.
Well, I grew up with a father who rode a motorcycle. He was part of a motorcycle club. And I went many years just being a passenger, having a boyfriend now and then that had a motorcycle. Then I met my husband, Steve, and when we were dating, we were talking about taking a motorcycle trip, a very extended one. And I found out that I could only take one pair of shoes if I was a passenger, so I figured I'd better learn to ride my own bike because I needed at least four pairs of shoes to take the trip.
That's great. So tell me about a daily life with motorcycles. Laura, I know you have a different speed and rhythm from Sash, but is your whole life enmeshed in motorcycles? Tell me what a daily life would be like.
Oh, gosh. Well, it is because our company, we, you know, we have our own Clockworks brand line of parts. So every single day I'm at the shop, many times on the weekend. So we start here at 8, we work till 5. But even after that, our brand has become pretty well known. So we're fortunate that we have a lot of people stop by on their, you know, on their own journeys just to see our shop. We give a lot of tours. I also run a nonprofit where we do a bike rebuild program with at-risk youth. So it's I'm pretty much part of every single day, yes.
What does your shop look like? Is it small, big? Does it have a display area?
Yeah, it's about 7,000 square feet. We've kind of outgrown the warehouse area. We're actually all the R&D here. So at any given time, we'll probably have a couple custom bikes we're working on, but definitely just working on new parts all the time, new versions of the windshield, new fender designs, new handlebar designs. We have an area up front where the original World Fastest Bagger is on display, and some of our other race bikes, but we're pretty humble. We're a small town. We're in small town Mitchell, South Dakota. A lot of times people see our billboard out on the highway as they're traveling on I-90 and come here, and when they walk in, they'll go, oh, not really what I expected.
Sash, yeah. Tell me a little bit about what your daily life looks like.
The first 5-10 minutes of my day are all about figuring out where I am and how I got there. And then we actually have kind of a structure, you know, got to get to the hotel breakfast before they close, and then we work a little, and we just explore the city where we are, and then we work a little more, and then we go eat some food, and we work throughout the day. We carry our laptops and our cell phones and run our business from the road. What people see are photos of food and bars and people and motorcycles and places. We go to a lot of roadside attractions. Traveling 35 states, you know, you just see so much. So no day is the same, but actually, as people, my husband and I are pretty structured, and we have to get work done, just like any other business person. We just chose to do this entire business from hotel rooms in different places. And there's good to that and bad to that. I mean, it's exciting, and it's adventurous, and I love it, but there's some time when it's just grueling and I get exhausted because I am a middle-aged woman and I'm not in the best of health all the time, especially eating barbecued nacho chips with cheese in Memphis. Oh my gosh. So the food I've eaten has been amazing, but that'll sometimes be counterproductive to what I'm trying to accomplish on the road.
Sure.
So yeah, that's my day, you know, it's this whole trying to find a balance all the time.
We're talking to two women who exemplify motorcycle mamas, especially over age 40 and 50 in this case. Laura Clock owns Clockworks out of South Dakota, and Sash Walker is freewheeling the country. And we're talking with them today about their desire to embody this lifestyle, to really make it work for other women, to empower other women. I think if I might look to you, Laura, for a second, it seems as if your underlying modus operandi is to not only excel in your business, but to prove it, that it's possible that a woman, especially a woman in mid-age, can do these motorcycle-related accomplishments alongside what used to be very male-related territory. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, when we first did it, when we first went to the Salt Flats, it was definitely a marketing idea. My husband and I worked together on the marketing here at the company, and for sure we did. Back then, there were only 5 of us. Now we have 15, you know, in our team, and so I do a little more directing of the marketing side, but you know, it was an idea. As we sat down late one night, I happen to be a woman that rides a motorcycle. And if you think back in like 2006 is when Harley-Davidson and some of the other OEMs were really taking notice that, wow, a lot more women are riding. So when we decided who was going to race that motorcycle, we just happened to have a woman that rides. And so it was a marketing idea, knowing that no matter what I did, it would, you know, we could use that in a way that would promote our business and also encourage other women to ride. Now, everything that happened since then, you couldn't have planned or predicted that. I mean, we were so blessed by just making those decisions, you know. And sometimes, and I was fearful. I thought, oh man, that, you know, I didn't want my team to regret that they put me on the bike. And I think as women, we worry about a different set of things than men do. But I just hopped on there and did my best and realized my daughters were watching me do something pretty cool, and right away they wanted to do it. And so just having them follow in my footsteps in that way was pretty amazing, pretty special. I mean, compared to all the other things that have come from it, that was probably the best part for me.
How does being a mother factor into this, and what lessons do you feel like you can impart to your children, Sash?
Well, my daughter saw me go through a 15-year marriage where I was completely submissive and miserable. I had a very unhappy husband, and I really thought I was doing the right thing by staying in that marriage and being married to keep a dad around for her. That was my mistake. When she turned 20, I divorced my husband and decided to forge a life for myself. I figured I'd done my part getting her out on her own. And that's when I started dating my husband, Steve, and we started motorcycling together. What's happened since I left my home, left everything, and I live in hotels and travel, my daughter seems to have embraced, it took her a little while, took her some struggle, but she's embraced this idea of, if my mom can do it, I can do it. And my mom does this, and my mom does that, and she's really excited about travel. Right now, I just picked up my daughter a couple days ago on my motorcycle. It was our first trip ever together, and I put her on the back of my little Yamaha, and I've ridden her 300 miles, and we're in a hotel room in San Francisco and traveling together for the first time, and she is thrilled. Now, she's a young mother herself now, and this is her first trip away from her husband and baby, but she's so excited to have this opportunity to get out and see how I live every day. And it's just so much fun to do this with your daughter. I know, Laura, you travel with your daughters quite a bit, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when we were growing the business here, there were times they didn't want to go, but I always sold it as, you get to go places that people plan their vacations to go to, but we drug them along. We drug them along to Daytona Bike Week and Arizona Bike Week and Sturgis, and, you know, so they didn't really have a choice at that time, and they probably didn't always enjoy it, but I think what happened and what they can see now is, you know, actually, my oldest daughter's birthday is tomorrow, and she's going to be 25, and Carly just turned 22. But in their own lives now, I think they see where just that influence, you know, it helped them dream bigger. It helped them not be afraid to try new things and break barriers, or, you know, if someone says, well, you can't do that because you're a girl, we don't see those kind of things. Those barriers just aren't there. If you like doing it,
right,
go try it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a boy thing or a girl thing. If you want to try it, go try it. And Carly works, my youngest works at our shop full time now, and I don't think she even realized how much she picked up about designing a motorcycle. She's done two custom bikes for OEM. She's done one for Triumph and one for Indian Motorcycles now, and they've been featured in magazines. She got to do a launch event alongside another well-known builder in our industry and meet Mark Wahlberg and, you know, a bunch of other things that, as a 21-year-old kid, she's got a great eye, and she picked all of that up. And the other thing I really noticed with racing and riding and Sash, I'm sure you would say the same things, is a motorcycle is just a really awesome tool because it's interesting and it's kind of, you know, dangerous or whatever. But you can use it I used it as a parenting tool, especially racing, because I taught them, you know, self-confidence and problem solving and how to work as a team and how to handle success and failure. And it's those very principles and the way that we were able to use the motorcycle and riding and racing as a tool to teach that is what's written into the curriculum that I use now with the Helping with Horsepower Bike Rebuild program. And we're working with at-risk kids, and that's what we're doing. We're using the motorcycle as a tool to teach them all of those life skills. Even if they never go on to ride or never be a mechanic, it's just a really cool vehicle to get that kind of message across.
Sash, I know that you feel very passionately dedicated to empowering other women, and I can see that it comes out of your life story, but I'd like to tie the knots with all this and bring it back to motorcycling. What is it that you really would like to get across to other women, and in what ways are you attempting to do this?
When I started riding a motorcycle, I realized that there is nothing more independent than riding one's own motorcycle. Absolutely nothing. No one can turn those handlebars for you. There's a phrase in motorcycling is ride your own ride. And that was one of the first things I was taught by another woman. I did more than just a motorcycle. You know, my husband led me into a hailstorm once. I was so angry. Oh, the dirty words that came out of my helmet. But I'm in this hailstorm for 15 minutes, and when we stopped, I realized, you know, I could have pulled over at any time. I chose to follow him, and I had not thought about that prior to doing it. And now I've learned to take that responsibility for myself and to take the handlebars of my own life and make my own choices. I've taken that power back over from being a submissive, miserable wife to being this entirely empowered person. And the only thing I had to shift, the only gears I had to shift, were the ones in my own mind. I had this power all along. I was afraid to grab those handlebars. I was afraid to turn that throttle, twist that throttle back, and take responsibility for my own choices. I'm trying very hard to be a good example for my daughter first, for my nieces and my family, but then for the women who watch what I do. I know Laura must struggle, too, from time to time with being someone that other women look to as a motorcycle rider, good or bad.
Let's talk about what women are drawn to be bikers. What type of woman, what age women? I'm guessing there must be differing levels of motorcycle riders. I would guess there's a hierarchy within the motorcycle world. There's a lot of inherent biases towards what you ride, what it looks like, where you go. So let's talk about, in terms of women, do they buy certain types of bikes, and how are they using their bikes? Either of you?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm a big, there's definitely stereotypes, and they're out there, but I'm a big challenger of all of that kind of stuff. So I'm a motorcycle safety instructor, and I have been for about 7 years, and I've gotten my pastor's wife from church to take the class because I sell it as, you know, it kind of, for a long time, and we all know this, is, you know, there's stereotypes just for motorcycles in general, you know, like you see the biker gangs and all that kind of crazy stuff, and it's so crazy to me that some of that still exists, or that it's taboo, or you can't be that kind of person. And so I love just challenging people to, you know, break away from that. I had a deal with my pastor's wife that I would take a quilting class, which I haven't done yet, and she hasn't called me on it, if she would take the motorcycle class. Well, she did, and she loved it. And even if you're never going to go on and buy your own bike or anything, you know, just having gone through that and conquering those fears and seeing, you know, it's, you can do this. You take the instruction from us, listen to what we're saying. And I loved what you were saying, Sash, about I'm responsible for my choices. So many times in class, we'll have a woman or even a man. I mean, people say, well, it's so jerky. There's something wrong with this bike or stuff like that. And it's like, no, you're absolutely controlling every single thing it does. And it takes that, you know, you can almost see that realization set in sometimes. So I like to break the stereotypes. I love riding all kinds of motorcycles. I love learning about all of them and doing marketing here at our company. Like, for instance, right now we just launched a windshield in the Honda Goldwing market. Well, the Honda rider is a different rider. It's a different person, different kind of person than a Harley rider. But I love that challenge. Like, I love getting to know them and what do they care about? You know, do they care about education more than the cool factor? You know, things like that. But to me, you know, I just love being an enthusiast, and so I try to lead by example in that way, and you know, hopefully that goes out into other areas of life where we have prejudice and, you know, those kind of things. And so I think anyone can be, if they have the physical ability to do it, or even if they don't, you can modify it, you know, but I think a lot of people don't consider trying it because of the stereotypes and the taboo and all of that. And I just really wish that didn't exist.
I was shocked when I got into the industry about how many people have these ideas. Oh, you wear textiles, so you don't ride this, or you ride a cruiser, so you can't that.
There
are still many people who have these ideas of if you're riding a motorcycle, you must be clad in leather, and you must have chains hanging from you and blah, blah, blah. And there certainly are extremes to every type of stereotype, just like anything in life. What's great is that women uniquely have broken so many of those stereotypes. I find that women don't carry the ego about their motorcycle the way men do. Many men will say, I only will ride this brand because that's what all the cool kids are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But women, there's a Yamaha parked next to a Honda, parked next to a Triumph, parked next to a Harley. At any kind of women's group, you're going to see women don't care. Of all things, women don't care about the label on their bike. They'll care more about the label on their handbag than they will the label on their bike.
No, I think that's true. And women don't seem
to classify one another that way. And I see women of all races riding together and having little prejudice about one another, because what binds us together, and I think women embrace this more than men, what binds us together is that we're all on two or three wheels, but mostly two wheels. Mm-hmm. And these women are just excited to be empowered, out in the wind together, and enjoying the ride. They don't seem as hung up on those old prejudices. My stepmother rode with my father back in the early 70s. She rode a motorcycle for many years. And back then, women weren't even allowed to ride with the men. She had to ride in the group behind the men. And she was most of the time, the only woman on a bike. Mm-hmm. Women being excluded for so many years, I think somehow that has opened up this thought of, hey, I'll ride whatever I want, wherever I want. I'm just glad to be riding. I'm glad to have girlfriends to ride with. We don't want to be exclusionary, you know.
You know, women make a lot of the buying decisions, so we're doing our research. When you're a woman on a motorcycle, people are watching you. So do you want to be on a bike that you're uncomfortable on and you don't feel confident? Like, to me, when I feel comfortable, I'm more confident. And, you know, that's what I want, because I don't want to be tipping over when I'm backing my bike up trying to park it because I can't touch well or something like that.
Right. I'm 4'11". You know, how tall are you, Laura?
Oh, I'm 5'10", so I know you face those challenges, and so does my daughter. We look at things differently, and maybe it is because, you know, there were amazing women that paved the way for us, and we know some of them. Gloria Strock, some of those women, I just love hearing their stories, and it was very, very hard for them to be in this, whatever you call it, a man's world, I guess, but it's much more open now. I don't think a lot of that's there, and because of that, and when the mass majority of women are coming into it, we have the ability to do our research. And so, I agree with you, Sash. I don't see those lines like that. I mean, your handful of friends might be five different types of bikes because it's what they like, what they researched. What motorcycling is the avenue to be an individual, you know?
You
don't have to like what I like, and I'm fine with that because I don't want you to have the exact same thing as me anyway. So.
Right.
So quickly give me some stats. Do you have any, Laura, about the number of women bikers who are racing?
Probably the most personal one for me is the first year I raced in 2006, and that wasn't that long ago. I was one of four women entered out of 180 at the Bonneville South Flats. The last year that we raced, there were 35.
Wow.
So it grew that, you know, with about the same amount of entrants, maybe more in the 250 range. But they even created a day where they took a picture of all the women riders, and someone even counted up the number of records that the women were going for versus the men, because you can run in multiple classes. And so just then it was fun. It was fun for us, and, you know, just to watch that growth and feel like, well, you know, maybe our advertising of it had a tiny bit to do with it, because I know, you know, I'm always encouraging people, if they really have an interest and they come talk to me, to try it. Why wouldn't you want to try it? It's fun, you know. So
yes.
I think what some of us do is just give other people that ability to think they could do it too. And then when you are the kind of woman that would encourage them to, it's like, well, why wouldn't you be able to try it? I didn't have any special training. You know, it was a door that opened, an opportunity, and I walked through it. And yes, I was afraid at times, but I have a motto: if you're afraid to do something, then you do it afraid. You know, if
yes.
it's really what, if you feel in your gut, that's where you're supposed to be. And and what you're supposed to be doing at that time. So just encouraging in that way.
Sash,
you probably have some other ones, Sash, because you do a lot of more of the marketing end.
I'd love to hear some stats, Sash. Do you have any about number of women bikers in the U.S.?
Well, what's happened is that middle-aged women belong to the largest group, growing group of riders in the United States. And the women who ride make up about 22% of all riders in the United States. And that's a huge growth in the last few years. We've also seen, in reporting on our website, Biker News Online, we've done some research and found that motorcycle fatalities and accidents have gone down with the amount of women going up. Isn't that interesting? Now, nobody can say for sure that there's a correlation there, but there's been a dramatic decrease in fatalities and accidents. And I think that, you know, a lot of us make the assumption that women are actually more careful riders, especially because these are middle-aged women. And you ask any woman who's driven kids around in the car, and they're very careful. They're looking around. They don't want to hurt their kids. So then these women who have been driving the SUV for so long, now they're getting on a motorcycle, they know how to be safe. And
sure.
They want to be better riders because they're just inherently safer people. But you can have fun and be responsible at the same time.
Sure. We're running out of time, so I'd like to leave the listener with two things. What is the most misunderstood aspect of this field regarding women, and what message do you want to leave the listeners with? Sash?
Okay, so most misunderstood thing is that just because a woman rides a motorcycle doesn't make her part of some outcast group. Most of the women I know that ride, they're business women, they're moms. They are pastors' wives, you know, and the CEOs of companies. They're they're responsible people. They're the woman who lives right next door to you. They're not part of motorcycle gangs. My message I'd like to leave: adventure is defined in the dictionary as engaging in hazardous and exciting activity, especially the exploration of unknown territory. Now, every time you step out of your comfort zone, you're having an adventure. And I often will yell at the rider next to me and say, remember, there's no adventure without risk, and there is no fun without adventure.
Sure. Great. Laura, what message would you like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, gosh. You know, at this stage in my life, it's kind of like the next level of riding for me has been to be a mentor and a teacher. And I just think that we need to do that as women, especially women riders, just to empower the younger women. They're our future. And I love watching just how motorcycling has helped my own daughters just in their lives, whether they ride their motorcycle every day or not. So I just feel a certain sense of responsibility in my life to break down those stereotypes, be transparent, you know, be a teacher, be a mentor, be an encourager. And gosh, you know, you think of all the negative things that are going on in the world. If just a few of us would embrace the positive, and we can change things. We can make changes in the world.
We've been talking today to two biker mamas, women motorcyclists over 40, who feel as passionate about riding as they do about empowering women to live their lives as they choose. Laura Clark can be found at CustomBaggers.com. That's Custom with a K. Custom Cycles with a K. And HelpingWithHorsepower.com. Sash Walker can be found at www.rudebikerchick.com or www.toomuchtina.com. I want to thank you both for being my guest today. This was my honor and my pleasure.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you, the listener, for joining us. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40.